A Tempo is a production of the Classical Network and is made possible by the support of listeners like you. Thank you for your support.
Welcome to A Tempo, the Classical Network spotlight on the arts and culture. I'm Rachel Katz, and I'm your host as we explore the changes at work in the performing arts. Each week, I'll bring you some of the latest news and also take time to examine many of the issues that are challenging these arts organizations. Today, we'll head to Dallas to hear about how the Dallas Black Dance Theater is moving its Academy's Espresso Nutcracker online. The production's popularity took off after being introduced 2 years ago, and the theater made sure it was part of its virtual lineup as venues remained closed because of the COVID-19 pandemic. I'll speak with Academy Director Patricia Eaglin, who originated the idea, and Theater Artistic Director Melissa Young about how the theater pivoted to keep bringing diverse dance productions to audiences. Let's start off with a look at some of the news from around the world of the performing arts. Despite the pandemic, the Grammy Award nominees were announced this week, with the award ceremony set for January 31st. The Philadelphia-based vocal ensemble The Crossing was nominated in the Best Choral Performance category for its album Carthage, directed by Donald Nally. The Metropolitan Opera's recording of Porgy and Bess will vie with those of Norman de la Joya's The Trial at Rouen, Carlisle Floyd's Prince of Players, George Frederick Handel's Agrippina, and Alexander Zemlinsky's Der Zwerg for Best Opera Recording, and pianist Daniil Trifonov's recording Destination Rachmaninoff Arrival, conducted by Yannick Nézet-Séguin with the Philadelphia Orchestra, joins recordings by Kirill Gerstein of Thomas Addis's Concerto for Piano and Orchestra, Igor Levit's Complete Beethoven Piano Sonatas, violinist Augustin Hadelik's album Bohemian Tales, conducted by Jakub Grusza, with pianist Charles Owens, and Richard O'Neill's recording of Christopher Theophanidis' Concerto for Viola and Chamber Orchestra with the Albany Symphony round out the Best Classical Instrumental Solo category. A full list can be found at Grammy.com. That's just some of the news this week from around the world of the performing arts. When the Dallas Black Dance Theater premiered its Espresso Nutcracker in 2018, which combines choreographed selections from Tchaikovsky's ballet with portions of Duke Ellington's Nutcracker Suite, it was an instant local hit, immediately growing in scope and selling out successive venues. So when the COVID-19 pandemic shut down performance options this year, the theater knew it had to find a way to create a virtual production. The result includes videos from past performances and newly recorded sections. I spoke with Patricia Eaglin, director of the theater's academy, about adapting the now annual tradition this year and how it became such a staple of the dance theater season.
We have a lot of talented kids who train in ballet, modern jazz, African, and tap, you know, like 3-4 times a week. So I was thinking they always get opportunities to, people always want to see jazz, and the ensembles do modern. So for my students that are really interested and passionate about ballet, I said, I need to try to create opportunities for them to actually perform ballet besides recital and winter showcase. So we have two divisions, the primary division of the academy and the pre-professional division. So I said, okay, we'll do a mini nutcracker, like excerpt for the pre-professional division. Well, when I met with the teachers, I assigned them sections. I didn't choreograph. I produced it. I created the formatting, but I didn't choreograph the whole thing. So each teacher was assigned a section. And so we were going to just do like an in-studio showing, do like maybe 3 big sections of it. And it began to mushroom into this thing. You know, some teachers were coming back, oh, we need to add costumes. Oh, I love it when we used to do this when I was little. Oh, well, what if we tried this? Well, can I add these girls from this other class? Oh, can I? And I, you know, and I kept saying yes, yes, yes. And so then I realized, well, we might as well just do the whole thing. So then I said, well, we can't do a 2.5-hour nutcracker. So I said, well, I'll call it the Espresso Nutcracker. We'll condense everything into 1 hour. There are some things that we really don't necessarily need. And I said, oh, it would be fun if we add narration. So I was like, okay, this is fine. It was still an in-studio style performance. And we were telling the kids, we were sending out emails telling the kids' parents, reserve your spot. Yeah, I think it was like 2 or 3 spots. So those spots filled up like in an hour. So then I said, we'll add another show that's good for the kids. We can put y'all past. Then that show filled up the next day in an hour. And then I said, well, maybe we can add one more show on another day. And when I spoke to the executive director, she said, you just need a venue, Patricia. Just stop, you know, stop trying to make this thing small. And so we reached out to a local theater, and everything in the area was booked. Literally, maybe 3 weeks prior to our first Nutcracker in 2018, they called me. They said, the venue's open. Well, now we're on the stage. So the Nutcracker normally has props, right? So I said, okay, what are we going to do? I don't have props. I barely have costumes. It just blew up so fast. So I said, well, you know what? It's 2018. Our Nutcracker will be digital. So we used Duke Ellington excerpt. We mixed Duke Ellington, or I decided to use a Duke Ellington excerpt. We're still using Tchaikovsky. Then, you know, the narration was an idea early on. And then the digital portion to add the scenery was like the last piece. So then I just kind of went in and built everything so that, you know, the kids wouldn't have to worry about, well, we wouldn't have to worry about teaching the kids not to knock props down. So that was 2018, and that sold out in 2 days. Once we released the ticket, it was sold out. So, you know, it was like, I was glad it was over. Then the next year, they were like, okay, so you guys are going to do it again, right? And I was like, sure. So 2019, our executive director stepped in again, and she said, well, listen, I think you really need to make room for this to grow. And I said, okay. So she said, we should have it at the Majestic where we have the recital. Well, the Majestic seats 1,500 people. And I was thinking, we can't. These kids aren't going to sell out a Majestic show. I think the cast is 70 kids. So, you know, I'll do math real quick in my head. And I'm like, okay, 70 kids. Each kid, you know, minimum bring 2 people, maybe 5. I was like, we can't sell it out. Little did I know, the press release went out in November. It was literally sold out before December 5th of 2019. Like all the parents, you know, we had seats reserved for our parents, but all the parents were like in the nosebleed seats because they were waiting to get their tickets and trying to figure out, you know, they were trying to sit in family groupings and stuff. But to make a long story longer, that was... That's our Nutcracker.
That is fantastic. So with these different stages of development, suddenly 2020 comes along. Now that it had established itself as a tradition, what was the thought process like then in trying to decide what you wanted to do this season?
We had to offer it in some way again. We had to. The community wants it. The kids want it. You know, we want it to, you know, represent what the organization is doing. The city wants it, you know, so, I mean, and organizationally, we're just not letting the pandemic stop us. We're being like every other artist, you know. Artists find the best solutions, you know. So it was probably the summer I was like, there has to be a way where we could be virtual. So it'll be virtual, and, you know, we're going to add some elements to try to make it, you know, fun and interesting still. So hopefully that'll work out within the next 48 hours because it needs to be recorded. But I want to add Santa to to our Nutcracker. So that'll be an interesting element. And then just a little foretelling, even next year when we do it in person, hopefully 2021, right, the hope is to still have adding that Santa element, helping to excite people about the holiday spirit of the Nutcracker, you know, still having him a part of it, hopefully digitally, because I want to add as many technical elements as possible to reflect the times that we're in.
So how are you presenting it this year then?
So it'll basically be the video from last year, but the students this year are doing the teasers. So we meet in like groups of two or three. They film like the new Sugar Plum. She'll film pieces of the variation. So you'll see her in preparation, and then the Sugar Plum from last year, just seeing that transition. So the students from this year are still learning it. They're just not going to actually perform it on stage.
So now, how did you weave together? I'm a little familiar with Ellington's Nutcracker. How did you weave together the different elements?
What I didn't want to happen is, if we use this whole version, then once the kids heard the traditional or the original track of Tchaikovsky, they may be lost if they're in a generic ballet setting. So I narrowed it down by those, like I think it's three flutes, Arabian. I think it's three Ellington tracks that we use specifically where the melody, where he maintained the melody of the song. It's still very jazzy, but he maintains the melody. And then his overture, I use his overture a lot, and I use the entr'acte, I think, as like the family theme and the kids theme. So that's where I add the Ellington pieces. And that's how I made the decision to make sure that we are still able to identify the original melody, because I think that's important as well.
Well, what do you think it is that has made the Nutcracker such a tradition that, you know, even, you know, your students were like banging down the door and saying, oh, yes, let's do this?
I think that for dance, the Nutcracker is like the movie A Christmas Story. So it's just something that you identify with the season. You know, Christmas Story is it's a fun movie. It's great. But, you know, you have the holiday off. You get your hot chocolate, you have your popcorn, you're with your parents, your warm fuzzy clothes. So it just brings back really good memories of, you know, maybe holiday break. And I think the Nutcracker has that same nostalgia for dancers. You know, a lot of dancers, this was my first solo role. This was my first time, you know, doing a performance in a big costume. And the grandeur of the Nutcracker, you know, a lot of the support that you get, the audiences, you're around your friends, the excitement, and then again, like I mentioned before, it's the holidays.
Well, I also want to give you a minute or two to talk a bit about the Academy in general. What are the offerings, and, you know, what range of students do you have, and how have you been coping with the pandemic?
Okay. We offer classes for students ages 2 to, let's see, our oldest student may be about 57, but If you're 72, come on. If you're 80, come on. Our teachers in the academy are normally, typically, current dancers or former dancers with the company. I'm also making sure that students who train with us and go to college, I make sure that I reach out to them so that they can have internships, they can come back and teach in the summers. And some of them are very good teachers. And again, since they trained with us, most of them since they were ages, you know, 5. But kids normally start and stick with us between ages 6 and 9. So we know that we've indoctrinated them into our dance belief system. So whenever they want to come back and do anything, either I'm welcoming them or I'm telling them, you need to come back. Remember, I used to teach you. And we offer ballet from pre-point to advanced point. Modern, we train in the Horton technique, but our teachers also teach Graham-inspired and Dunham-inspired movement. Jazz, most times traditional jazz for younger, and then as they get older, contemporary jazz, African, West African, and contemporary African. And we have our TAP program is really increasing a lot. So typically the kids will start at TAP at age 4 and they would stop around 9 or 12. But since we have three really phenomenal TAP dancers in the two professional companies that we have, now we're able to offer some really, really good TAP classes. So hopefully we'll be able to keep that going. So those are our offerings. And then the pandemic has made everything virtual. So for students that feel uncomfortable having their homes in the background, we offer them a virtual background so it looks like they're in the classroom. And a lot of the parents really appreciate that, so we're not looking at their couch in their kitchen, you know. And also just making sure that they know things that will make virtual classes easier at home. Like some of them have bought their own portable ballet bars and their own plywood for taps, safe surfaces, safe room areas. Our enrollment went down, but it's slowly starting to, we're about at half mass right now, half of our student body. A lot of the students, they're just worn out with virtual school, and then they're like, we don't want to do virtual dance too. So it's really beneficial for our ensemble members who are the ambassadors for our academy. They actually get to come in person every once in a while to record. And tomorrow they'll actually be presenting their behind the scenes performances. So they recorded 2 weeks ago and last week with their performances. So the ensembles have been hybrid where everyone else has been virtual.
That was Katricia Eaglin, director of the Dallas Black Dance Theater's Academy. The virtual Espresso Nutcracker production is in some ways the result of systemic planning put in place at the beginning of the closures prompted by the COVID-19 outbreak. Melissa Young is the dance theater's artistic director, and we talked about how that planning has enabled the theater to bring even more content and performances to its audiences than before.
This pandemic has really broadened the breadth of our creativity. Of course, stepping into the unknown territory, we're all a little, unsure of how do we proceed? How long is this going to last? I think we had all of the same questions that everyone else had on their mind. But most immediately, I will say at the top of the pandemic, when we had to cancel that first show on March 14th, it was, it's devastating because, we were having such great momentum, great audiences, great dancing on. This pandemic has really broadened the breadth of our creativity. Of course, stepping into the unknown territory, we were all a little, unsure of how do we proceed? How long is this going to last? I think we had all of the same questions that everyone else had on their mind. But most immediately, I will say at the top of the pandemic, when we had to cancel that first show on March 14th, it was, it's devastating because, we were having such great momentum, great audiences, great dancing on stage. So along with my executive director, she and I sat down that very next Sunday for about 4 hours and said, okay, we can do this, even though we did not know what this was. So we sat down and created a 90-day, a 6-month, and a 1-year plan because, we all know that under previous circumstances, the busy will always be there regardless of what your career path is. But as long as you can lay out the tracks, then there will be some success ahead because you're in a way prepared for it. That's really how we proceeded. Dance is a business. Of course, audiences know that we entertain, but if your business is not laid out properly, you're going to have a struggle. So the success of us getting through these 8 months thus far, I think it's, good planning and being calm and not making any rash decisions based on what's happening around us.
Well, there's some examples of the way you were able to bring performances and productions online.
We always value the work that we do on stage, and we did not want to put out free content like everyone else. Dallas Black Dance Theater has a very distinct voice, style, and mission. So we wanted to make sure that whatever we chose to do virtually made sense with the overall vision of our company. We knew since this pandemic, the dancers could not be rehearsing together. And, we were still unsure what was going to happen. So in the early summer, we started the Legacy Performance Series, which was pre-recorded performances from the past. I mean, we just kind of wanted to amplify the legacy of Dallas Black Dance Theater and showcase what has gotten us this far. That became with pre-recorded performance, highlighting one work featuring the choreographer of that work. So it was very inclusive. The audience was able to ask questions. The dancers shared their point of view, working with the choreographer shared his or her stories. So we did that. Then the next step, when we felt like, okay, we're kind of seeing what the limitations and restrictions are, then we were able to move forward thoughtfully with what we call the petite performance. And we rehearsed and got ready, performance ready for two solos and a duet. And we filmed them on location and using our partners here in our neighborhood of the Dallas Arts District. We filmed at the beautiful Nasher Sculpture Center and then here at the Dallas Ligant Theater Building. And just to see the light shining through those dancers, like the energy of that thing, like, oh my gosh, we missed this. And we're able to do it at this limited capacity. And just seeing that dazzle and sparkle, like the energy in their body while being on set, that was priceless.
Wow. So now, of course, you've come to the Nutcracker season. Why was it so important to make sure that that remained a part of your season?
Dallas Black Dance is a very diverse company in terms of the different offerings that we have for our public. I always tell people, just because you saw us one time doesn't mean you should skip over the next five times, because I will guarantee that you are going to see something different. So whether it's with the main company, DBDT Encore is our second professional company, and we have our academy, we knew that it was important for not just here, our community here in Dallas, but, you know, on a broader scale, this is the time to expand our reach. And our Espresso Nutcracker, it's great because you really don't have the opportunity to see many shades of brown bodies on the stage in this classical ballet art form, and really just elevating our student ensembles. It's really great. The music is fabulous with the Duke Ellington and Tchaikovsky score. So I feel like whether you're a music lover or a dance lover, this program is perfect for the family.
And now the next performance coming up is going to be Black on Black. Tell us a bit about that production.
Black on Black is one of my most favorite performance series of our season. This is the 11th year that we have had this program, and it started off as a way, I guess you can think of it like an artistic professional development experiment. So the main company dancers and our DBDT Encore dancers, they have the opportunity to choreograph and perform in each other's works. So it's really great because most often, whether it's a modern dance company or ballet company, choreographers are brought into the mix to create works, but very rarely do you see those professional artists have an opportunity to stretch their own creativity, to figure out their choreographic journey. And then also it's great because it really heightens their leadership skills. You know, yes, they dance alongside each other every day, but to have to be the leader in the front of the room, and it really stretches them. So some beautiful works have come out of Black on Black, and this season is no different. The theme of this Black on Black series is called Uncovered, and it's the dancers telling their stories of what has inspired them, what has challenged them, and what has brought certain things to light, whether it's something in their lives that they may have been avoiding, or, you know, we've all been having those pockets of being in denial about the current circumstances. So it's really an array of emotions. Their dancers have filmed the work on location. So each choreographer, there are five works that will be showcased. So it's really great because typically this would happen at our studio to a very intimate audience of about 100 people. So to know that this will be filmed around our city and have the national reach, I mean, it's incredible.
Tell us a little bit about the two professional companies that you have.
Here at our company, we have Dallas Light Dance Theater, which we dub as the main company. There are 12 artists, 6 men and 6 women. And DBDT Encore has 10 members, 5 men and 5 women. The main company dancers are salaried. They have that stability of, you know, consistent income, health benefits, and so forth. And their season is 11 months out of the year. And our DBDT Encore dancers, they are considered volunteer dancers. They do receive a monthly stipend, but they work just as hard. And the reason why Encore came about was we started to get so many performance requests over the years, and it was becoming very challenging and taxing for the dancers of the main company to fulfill all the requests. So something had to be birthed. And so Ann Williams, our founder, she said, well, since the main company cannot, you know, do it all, why don't we start a second company? And so, you know, it's like, oh, wow, here we go with another baby to, you know, develop and grow. I would say currently about over half of the main company members have come through Encore. So it's great to have this feeder system. The repertoire of both companies are just magnificent, whether we have choreographers who are emerging or these master choreographers. Both sets of dancers have the opportunity to work with these great choreographers. So you can't beat that. And both companies tour nationally and internationally. Well, when we could travel, but they also have their own unique voice and distinction. But so many audiences go, oh, I can't tell the difference. Well, you know, for us, we're like, well, of course, because we have such high standards for the dancers that we choose to be a part of our family. Mm-hmm. And it's just great to be able to double the reach in all ways.
And tell us a little bit about what else you have coming up in the next couple of months.
I always love to affectionately say Dallas Fly Dance Theater is the gift that keeps on giving, because every month we have something going on. And so sometimes when people go, oh, I'm sorry, I missed it, I'm like, oh, that's okay. Just wait a couple of weeks. You know, it'll cycle back around with something totally new and different. So as we, you know, slide into 2021, we are so looking forward to a number of programs. In February, one of the audience favorites is our cultural awareness series. We typically highlight the work of an African-American choreographer, but it's not just to entertain, but that program always enriches and educates our audience, whether it's on about that choreographer themselves, or perhaps it's the music or the movement. So this February, we're so excited that we will be featuring a work called Odetta, choreographed by Matthew Rushing, who is the Associate Artistic Director for Alvin Ailey. And this work is phenomenal because it highlights the work of American folk great Odetta Holmes. And her music is so rich and tells such a phenomenal story. So that's certainly something to look forward to. We have a lot going on throughout the spring. DBDT Encore, they have their home season called Rising Excellence in April. And then we end the season with our spring celebration series, highlighting the work from one of our main company members, Claude Alexander III, called A Tender Pardon. And this work is about that vulnerability in giving and accepting forgiveness. So it's very moving.
That was Melissa Young, Artistic Director of the Dallas Black Dance Theater. Black on Black will stream on December 5th and The Espresso Nutcracker on December 12th. You can find more information at dbdt.com. I hope you enjoy the conversations I bring you each week on La Tempo, focusing on the changes and challenges facing the performing arts. But remember that programs like this are made possible only through your support of this station. To become a member of the Classical Network, go to wwfm.org and click on Donate. Thank you for your support. Thank you for listening to A Tempo. I'm your host and producer, Rachel Katz. Join me again next week as we explore more issues and trends in the world of the performing arts. A Tempo is a production of the Classical Network and is made possible by the support of listeners like you.